Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.
Tonight on my News Nation show, I'm going to be talking about this conspiracy theory surrounding this guy, Ray Epps. We're going to sort of do a deep dive. This is the guy who was at the Capitol, and many on the right have speculated that he was actually a plant, that he was put there by the government to get people to go into the Capitol. We're going to do a deep dive on that. I've been reading on it, more up on it, leading up to the show. Second programming note is tonight on my News Nation show, I want you guys to come on the show live via Zoom. I've had a number of you on before, and the topic tonight is going to be, why is Anthony Fauci so hated and so despised by many? A scapegoat, etc. Want both sides of the topic on this, and you can go to newsnationnow.com/DAL. I also have it up on my Twitter page with the address. So I'd love to have you guys join me on the show tonight to discuss and debate. But obviously the hot topic of the day is the voting rights legislation and the question of whether the filibuster should be scrapped to allow some of this federal legislation to go through and get voted on. And I will admit that I am of two minds on this one. I've said some of this before, but I want to just be very clear on what my position is on this. I think that Republicans in some of the swing states have tried to fix a supposed voter fraud or integrity problem that doesn't exist. They are enhancing security, even though there's no evidence that there was security problems. And in particular, for example, in Georgia, where they're getting very scarily close to letting political leaders decide whether the election can get overturned is really scary to me. And yet, I also think that Democrats have gone too far with some of the federal legislation, that too much of it is sort of, you know, mandating uniform rules and codes and other specific dictates as to how states can and should go about having federal elections. And I do think states should be allowed to sort of determine it largely on their own. But what some of these states have done, I think, crosses the line. And as a result, I do think some federal legislation makes sense. But they don't have the votes, right? And I like the filibuster, right? I like the idea that it can't just be 51 votes to get, because then it's going to be constant. The legislation's going to go ping-ponging back and forth. Who's in power? Oh, you know what? We're going to repeal all of the stuff that they did before. And we're going to implement all this new legislation under enormous pressure. And so the filibuster really does serve a protective purpose against the whims of the majority. But we're now at a spot where, starting with Harry Reid in 2013, where he decided that they had to scrap the filibuster for certain federal judges, because they said Republicans were obstructing, but just for federal judges. Okay? Then when the Republicans are in power, they say, well, we're going to add Supreme Court justices to it as well. So just by a majority vote. And by the way, if judges and the Supreme Court justices had to abide by the 60-vote minimum, we would have no judges on the bench at this point. So despite the fact that I think that the filibuster is a good thing, and I think it makes sense in this particular situation, it makes sense for judges on the confirmation process. But do we now extend it to legislation, right? That does seem to be a new level, a new Rubicon to cross. To say we're going to eliminate it, but just for voting, only it's on voting rights. It means that the filibuster's done. Now, the best argument on the other side is that the filibuster's probably done anyway. Right? If I had confidence that Republicans would protect the filibuster when they're in power, I would be opposed to changing it. I think Mitch McConnell doesn't want to change it. I believe that. But then again, I believed Lindsey Graham and McConnell when they claimed that in 2016 that they were going to apply a standard to confirming Supreme Court justices that said, well, you know, if it's in the last year and there's a contested presidential election coming up, we should hold off on confirming justices. I have to tell you what happened in 2020, and I've said this before, with Amy Coney Barrett being confirmed, was actually the right thing to do. Except what it did is it highlighted how wrong what they did in 2016 was. And so I don't trust Lindsey Graham anymore. I don't trust that Mitch McConnell won't do it. I don't think he will. So I'm stuck in this spot where I want to keep a filibuster in place. I think it's a good thing. I think it's different than it is for confirming judges and justices when you're talking about legislation. If you eliminate the filibuster for this legislation, it's done. And that's bad. But I also do think that Republicans may eliminate it anyway. And they will quote the Democrats who talked about doing it, but who didn't do it. So that's where we are. Curious what you guys think. 866-967-6887. The question is it time to scrap the filibuster? And it's funny because I think about this a lot, and I thought I was going to come into the show, and I'm sort of right on the fence on this, and I thought I was going to come on the show and say that I think that because the Republicans are going to scrap it anyway, that I support getting rid of the filibuster. But as I said it aloud, I don't think I can support it. Even though I do support some degree of narrow federal legislation to deal with these rogue states, state legislatures, who are trying to, you know, fix the elections so that they can have more control. It doesn't mean all of them, by the way. Not every state that's changed its laws is such a big deal. A lot of it is window dressing. So that's where we are. call lines are already full. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. This is a hot, controversial topic. As you can tell, I am sort of torn on this one, but I think I am, I can, and you guys might change my mind, but I think I am leaning towards saying we got to keep the filibuster in place. Now, the good news is that it does seem that there is an effort, a bipartisan effort, to create this electoral college law, which would basically eliminate the sort of ambiguity that existed in 2020 about what the vice president's role is. There is no role. And to codify that. But that's not going to happen in 2025, because the vice president who will be presiding over it will be Kamala Harris. Would really be more for 2029 if Trump is reelected. Because I honestly don't think that any other Republican who could win for president would be pulling this nonsense, apart from Trump, about the phony rigged stuff and this. So what do you guys think? Maintain the filibuster? Kill it? Let's go to Utah and Mark. Hey, Mark, how you doing? What do you got?
I'm actually doing very well. Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of things. I'm against the filibuster. I have been for many years. But I'm also against the other thing, which is the biggest problem in my mind, and that is that we still have an electoral college that favors the small states and favors the Republicans in that regard. We had a situation where 85 million people voted for Joe Biden, and the minority is stopping everything they possibly can because of the electoral college. If we had votes simply by, we need to have our votes be simply by everybody voting in the country and everybody voting the same way. To have all the various states make different rules, it's absurd. It's just absurd. I don't believe that the state should have the right on federal issues to do anything other than count the votes.
With regards
to local politics, maybe.
Let me ask you this.
Get rid of the filibuster, but you got to get rid of the election.
Do you support smaller states having two senators and larger states having two senators?
Correct.
You support that? You're okay with that?
I think it should be a popular vote, period.
Wait, but I'm asking you about the Senate for a moment, because we have a system right now, right, which was created by our founders, which says that there's the Congress, right, which is the popular vote, and then there's the Senate, which is two senators per state, and the purpose behind that was to ensure that some of the smaller states did not become completely marginalized. And I guess what I'm asking you from a sort of big picture question is, do you support the notion that each state has two senators?
No, I do not.
So you think we should scrap that too?
Yes, I do. I just think it favors the minority to such a great extent that nothing gets done. I mean, look at what's happening now. Nothing's hardly getting done because the Republicans keep blocking everything. You put the Republicans in power, and now what do you think the Democrats are going to do? You think they're just going to go along willy-nilly? They're not. They're going to – it's blocking everything.
I think you can take a position which is a little less radical than yours, which is that the Electoral College – you could argue has become outdated when it comes to a presidential election. It is sort of perverse. And here's the interesting thing. You tell me, if Donald Trump had won the popular vote by 7 million votes and lost the Electoral College, he would be going bananas. Bananas! Calling for the Electoral College to end. He would be the first one. And you know what? It would be viewed, I think, by many as a kind of popular populist view. Mark, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Steve in California. Steve, how you doing? What's going on?
Good, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. I will bet you from a dollar to any amount you want, McConnell, if they get the majority, will blow it up, and he said so. He will blow it up the first day.
Wait. McConnell didn't say he'd blow up the filibuster.
Oh, my God. They have said, you want your cake and eat it, too. Everything these guys have done, from the insurrection, from planning everything, from the impeachment, no witnesses.
Right. We're talking about the filibuster here, Steve. And you just said to me, you said to me that McConnell has called for eliminating the filibuster and said that he will get rid of it. What he said is he's vowed retaliation if Democrats change the filibuster. But he hasn't said that if they don't, that he will.
Dan, seriously, and this is coming from a Republican, what they have done in the last 4 years, do you think it was fair that he wouldn't allow Obama to have Gorsuch?
Wait, did you listen to my intro, Steve?
I did.
That's what I just said. I just said that.
But you hee-haw.
What do you mean I hee-haw? Well, I just told you that the reason – I just said to you the reason I don't trust the McConnells and the Lindsey Grahams of the world is because of what happened in 2016 with them cheating on a Supreme Court justice nomination. That's what I just said.
The second one. Amy Barrett, you're right there. I didn't hear the first one if you did say that, so
yeah.
I apologize then.
All right. Anyway, Steve, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Michigan and Jeff. Jeff, how you doing? What do you got?
Hey, Dan. I love your show. Thanks, man. So, generally, I'm not a fan of the filibuster. But if we need to keep it, why couldn't we make it kind of like a Mr. Smith goes to Washington style filibuster where, they have to get 40 people up there and passionately and rationally state their case. If we did that, I think a lot of folks would see, just how full of holes and how bad the case that they're trying to make for the other side really is.
Wait, I don't understand. I guess I'm not really understanding what you're suggesting. You're suggesting that those who oppose legislation, each one of the 40, have to get up and make a speech?
Well, they have to have 40 people there, right? Because my understanding is
correct.
That right now they can just basically, wave their hand and it's filibustered without actually having to make any, case on the floor of the Senate. And so, if we had to get, some of those
come on, more speech. Come on. More speeches from the senators is really going to lead the idea that everyone's watching C-SPAN and it's going to.
If they actually have to show up, if we actually have to get them to show up, that's the key. It's not the speeches. It's getting them to show up. And because right now there's no, they don't have any skin in the game to filibuster. But if we got them to actually show up, then they might be a little less willing to, to stand so firm on some of that.
Jeff,
stuff.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mike in Michigan. Mike, how you doing? What's going on?
Hey, Dan, love the show. But just flip, Dan, rewind the tape. If you look back, Biden was against the filibuster years ago. Schumer was against it. It's going to become a political football. I get it. I'm a Republican to some extent, and I don't believe in some of the stuff that the Republicans are doing. I think it's horrible. But at the end of the day, you go one, it's just going to be a tit for tat in whether what Manchin or Sinema or why they're doing it. I don't believe they're doing it for anything because of political reasons. But, I mean, people are just illogical. I mean, you just got to rewind the tape and see what it was. And at the end of the day, they get it through. Republicans will do it again to them in a couple of years.
So which way do you see you think that to leave the filibuster in place?
Well, that's where I'm torn, because you made a really good point today. Because in 2016, Trump wanted to get rid of the filibuster and the Republicans wouldn't get rid of it. Yeah. So my thinking is, but what you're saying is that eventually the Republicans are getting so far to the right that they're just going to scrap it. So maybe you take a chance. But they've never done it before besides for the judges, which Reid started years ago. So I'm torn, because your point that if you really believe that the Republicans will go that way, then maybe they do it. But I don't think, but again, I don't think that anybody can say that they're on the side of the people. It's really just political, whichever side you're on. So I'm torn.
Mike, you and I share a view on that. I too am torn. Thank you. Let's go to James in Texas. James, how you doing? What's going on?
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good,
I'm kind of on board with your first caller, Mark. I don't feel that my vote counts just as much as other people in Texas, because you have these small counties that's keeping Texas red. Why shouldn't it be one vote, one person? Shouldn't matter what county you live in.
Wait a sec. But when you're talking about a state-by-state vote, right, your state in the state of Texas is still looking at the entirety of the votes in the state of Texas when it applies to the Electoral College and it applies to federal elections.
No, because what they do is they go by county, because I've watched it for the past
It only impacts it for congressional elections. If you're talking about the Senate or the president, you're going to be voting. The state of Texas is going to have a vote of X percent versus X percent, and one person's going to win that state regardless of county when you're talking about Senate or presidential elections.
Okay, well, give me an email address, and I'll send you the map from the presidential election of how Trump won Texas, because it was more Democratic votes in bigger cities, but it was a smaller city that won him the election.
Yes, because there are more people voting in those, because the totality of the smaller places.
No.
Okay, it's just not true.
It's
just not true, okay? The bottom line is, yes, there's gerrymandering, which is a real issue. It's a separate question, though. When you're talking about the presidential election or elections for Senate, it is going to be a totality of the vote in the state. One county doesn't get more weight than another county. It is simply one vote, one person. The reason that there are issues is that when it comes to the Electoral College, a lot of these smaller states are weighted more disproportionately more valuable than some of the states which have many more people in them, and they have fewer Electoral College numbers comparatively. That's the argument. Anyway, James, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
This has been the Dan Abrams Lawn Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.